Hello and welcome to this Innovation Forum podcast with me, Ian Welsh. I'm with Caroline Reid, Project Manager of Strategic Sustainable Development at IKEA, and we're reflecting on Innovation Forum's recent conference on how business can tackle ocean plastic pollution. Welcome, Caroline.
Thank you.
Can you give us an idea of what IKEA's plastic use looks like?
When we often think about plastic, we think about packaging. But when it comes to IKEA, the majority of the plastic we use is embedded, of course, in our products, as most of our packaging is actually in paper and cardboard. And plastic is quite a large material for IKEA. Wood and cotton are our biggest. But if you group all the plastics and synthetics together, I would assume it's about our fourth largest commodity in IKEA.
And what are your targets around plastic?
We have a People and Planet Positive Strategy, which is our sustainability strategy. And there we clearly state that we want to move away from fossil-based materials and have only renewable and recyclable materials by 2030. So that's including plastics.
And what have been the drivers around developing these targets? Has this come from your consumers, your suppliers, or the internal? What's the kind of thing that drives IKEA towards hitting these targets?
So, of course, we have customers that are very aware of sustainability. But really, I think all of these targets are driven. It's part of our culture and our internal compass when it comes to being a good company. And we think sustainability is really key. And that's key to also being a successful company. And then we also see that to be sustainable for the future and long term, and really to secure the resources that we need to move into a linear model to transform into a circular business model. And therefore, a lot of our targets are connected to our circular direction for the future, with renewable and recyclable materials being one part of that.
So plastics will be part of a circular economy model for you guys in the future. What are the challenges around that? Because, I mean, currently, of course, I don't imagine you have take back of many of your products. Does that mean that take back is something that you're going to be thinking about rolling out across your product range?
I think take back is something that we need to consider. Today in most markets, we do take back mattresses and sofas, which are not the most easy products to recycle. At the same time, we also need to look broader picture as well, that recycling systems and waste management systems need to be improved globally, kind of throughout the infrastructure of different cities. So it makes it easier for our customers to recycle at many different points. Of course, take back is one aspect, and that would, of course, make it easy to know what materials we'd be getting back because we know what materials are in our products. But we probably also need to look into a much bigger recycling infrastructure globally to really make this circular economy work well. But we're not saying no to anything right now. We have to keep our minds open and really look at all the different possibilities and options to support a circular economy going forward.
How about other circular economy ideas, the product as service ideas? Is that something that IKEA are interested in developing?
I think, of course, it's very interesting. I mean, when it comes to what circularity actually means for IKEA, circularity means prolonging the life of the product and the materials. That's what we say. So, I mean, a lot of when we talk about circularity, a lot of the discussions around recycling. But before we get to recycling, what we really want to encourage is prolong the life of the product. And how do we do that? That's often providing services which allow customers to repair existing products, maybe modify them, change them. And I mean, today we do things like if you go to our stores, you can get fittings and screws and so on for many of our articles. So if something is broken or you've lost something during a move, then you can fix it and still use it. And we're also looking into the first step of design and how we make our products to really evolve over time and to grow with you, for example, as a family. So it's like the Vimla sofa, it's modular and you can add to and change shape and change cover over time. And so it's all about really supporting customers to have products for much longer, the same product. And of course, there are many opportunities to provide services within that field, as well as the whole secondhand market as well and leasing.
I mean, in terms of your customers then, going back thinking of packaging again, do you think that they really expect a certain level of quality in the packaging? Is it something that is part of what IKEA offers? And you need to be careful when you're developing new styles of packaging not to kind of go away from the sort of packaging that IKEA customers have come to expect.
I mean, I think IKEA packaging is quite simple if you compare it to other retailers and how other products can be packaged. But what's really key for us is making sure the packaging really protects our products, because some of the biggest waste is actually in connection to transportation of products from suppliers to store and if damages occur. So we need to have packaging that really provides the right function, is the right type of quality to protect the product, but also fulfills our sustainability requirements. And I think we also see waste, our founder says waste is a mortal sin. And I think packaging for packaging's sake, that is a big waste. So we need to have limited packaging, just the packaging needed to protect that product and nothing more.
And internally, I'd imagine when you are delivering items to your store, you'll have, I would imagine, closed loop recycling already for packaging. How much of the kind of plastic that IKEA use then is already in a closed loop?
And we have a really great closed loop when it comes to the plastic wrapping that goes around our pallets from suppliers into stores. And there we take all that back and feed it back into our loop, and where it goes to a supplier that produces a spray bottle that we then sell in our stores. And then also all our paper and packaging that kind of end of life in our store goes back into recycling chains as well. We have a paper box range that uses some of that packaging material.
Okay, let's think a little bit about product design. What's the feeling internally at IKEA around moving towards removing all plastics from your products? Is that something your goal at 2030 was a recycled plastics goal, as I understand? But what about removing plastic entirely?
We have not any decision that we're going to remove plastic. But I think also one of the challenges is that unless you have really a proven sustainability material to move to a better material, making a decision to move away from a material can be very tricky, because you may move into another material which could maybe actually have a worse impact on the environment. So no, we don't have any targets as such. Who knows, maybe, you know, in the future that will be where we go, but we really need to have then the right alternative materials. And we do have a whole organization inside IKEA working with material innovation development, and we see that's key for a sustainable future, but it's nothing we've pinpointed to say we're going to remove plastics from our range. Starting with the designers is really key when it comes to getting products into a circular economy. So we have now developed 9 circular capabilities, which we want our designers to develop for. And what does that mean? I mean, circular capabilities, everything from designing products to be disassembled and assembled easily, as well as easy maintenance, care and repair, like I said, for prolonging the life of the product, as well as the modularity, standardization for improving and changing over time. And then, of course, another key issue is the design for recyclability at end of life. So yeah, starting with our designers is very key.
Obviously, these innovations, sort of things you're talking about, all come at some level of cost. Do you think consumers are ready to bear costs of these sort of innovations? Or are they really, perhaps in IKEA's market sector, I mean, it is often around price sensitivity is key. What are you getting from your consumers in terms of being prepared to pay for the innovation that means the product lasts a bit longer because it's been better designed, therefore there's less waste of plastic and other materials?
I think we need to think in an innovative way here. I mean, if material prices go up, then how, for example, can services support IKEA's business model? And of course, we want our products to be affordable for the many, and we actually want our products to be even more affordable in the future, not to increase the cost. But we are also aware that there's often a stage where you're implementing new, for example, innovative materials, where there is a slight increase in investment at the start to get ramp up those volumes. And that's something, of course, we need to look into how we can support this innovation really getting into place and becoming the new market norms.
Caroline from IKEA, thank you very much.
Thank you.